You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I remember walking round the court square sidewalks, looking in windows, things I couldn't want. There's Johnson's Hardware and Morgan's Jewelry and the old Lee King's Apothecary. They were the little man.
Joining me now from Granbury, Texas, it is Michael Musselman. What's up, man? What are you doing? What's going on?
Oh, what's going on?
Chief of Staff for the transition.
Hey, I just heard my voice.
What?
There we go.
Oh, did you do something? I didn't do anything. My shit's the same.
No, I heard it on your end. Like, right after, I always hear it, like, right when I first come on. It's like, and then you probably got the the board, and you're, like, turning something down. And you're saying, what are you talking about, Gunnar? I didn't hear anything. You're going crazy again.
Okay, tell me, do you hear yourself now?
No, it's when I first come on, every time. The first thing I say,
interesting,
I hear myself. Yeah.
I don't think that's me. I think that's you. But let me tell you, and you can't speak. I can't do that. Like, when you're doing live radio, for instance, if you're doing a football game and you're at a stadium and you're feeding it back to a studio, and then
right.
If the studio's feeding that audio back to you by, and it's normally by mistake, they have a button pressed that they didn't, it comes back to you a quarter second or a half second after you say it. It makes
right.
me. Makes me fall out of the chair. I can't function. I just say, I can't do this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Turn it off. We can't do it. No game tonight. Sorry, folks.
Hey, please.
What?
For the love of God.
What?
Don't make me talk about what's going on in the First Marine Division.
Why are you being here's why I want to talk about it. A year ago, Eric Smith was taken.
Greatest human being in the world.
Was taken to task. By
yeah,
Marine Corps Times and all these people, military judges, this undue command influence, blah, 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 blah. And now you're seeing that, maybe he was.
Eric was right.
Maybe he was fucking right.
Eric, that, man, if I could punch somebody over that one, I would line him up, man. Yeah, what they did to Eric, what they took him to, They took him to task. They washboarded him. Oh, this is just crazy. The Marine Corps generals got it out. What? Yeah. I mean, I can't even fathom. I read some of the comments from the judges saying that he had, command influence and, some of his wordings was, what are you talking about?
So what's the appropriate response? So you say, hey, this shit's going to end, okay? And they fucking do it anyway. And what are you supposed to say? Jeez, this is a problem. I wonder.
Well, the kid got off. One kid got off because the judge stopped, it was improper influence from the command.
We don't care about, but we don't care about one case. And let me tell you, those judges are assholes.
And they're clowns.
Total assholes because they didn't say the kid didn't do it.
No.
Yeah. They didn't say he was guilty or she wasn't guilty of any of the shit they got accused of. They said, this was undue command influence. So what are you supposed to do? Stand there in your hands, stand there as a CG with your hands in your pockets and say, well, we tried.
I can't tell my commanders to do anything about it because some judge is going to throw it in my face and say it's undue influence of me as a commanding general that I'm not supposed to do this and influence the commanders to do their freaking job.
Yeah.
Which then those commanders do their freaking job. See how this works?
It's called shit rolling downhill, and then all of a sudden somebody says,
yeah.
Oh, shit doesn't roll downhill, okay? Because they run. You can't hurt their feelings. You can't tell them what to do. They have every right.
They're expressing their constitutional rights of freedom of expression.
And we have
That's not a constitutional right, by the way.
We have to, and we have to protect that right. oh, wait a minute. Yeah. I thought all these years of my service, and Judge, how long you been in the military? 7 years.
Seven years.
Yeah, so you shut the fuck up. Do you see
and you didn't even go through – he's not even – they just get the automatic admission.
Exactly. So I thought the UCMJ was here to promote good order and discipline. And I thought that's what I'm the leader of this organization. And this shit's fucking crazy because they're out of control because we gave them the barracks a few years ago, and now we're trying to claw it back. So we're trying to unfuck that mistake. And so now I put my foot down and say, I ain't having this shit. And you say, oh, you can't do that.
For the record, when we played that whole barracks thing and we did this, hey, let them – they can hang whatever they want and, you know, and that kind of stuff. And they can have whatever blankets they want. Let it be known that Gunner Mike Musselman said, this is the wrong path, boys. This is going to bite us in the ass.
And what happened?
And it not only bit us in the ass, it took our whole right cheek.
Yeah.
It did. Like a shark bite.
Yeah. It was like a great white shark bite in the ass. Like, where'd that dude's ass go? Oh, it's gone.
Yeah. It's not like a nibble ass. No. Yeah, it's your ass cheeks gone.
Yeah, your whole ass is just now a cavernous, a big fucking hole. Like, what happened? Well, you know, we don't inspect their rooms out in town, so this should be their home. Well, wait a minute.
Yes, I know.
Yes, we do. We do health and comfort inspections when we think something fucked up's going on. Like, hey, Musselman.
Yeah,
Lieutenant. Hey, Sasso and I are going to drop by your house today. Want to, you know, just sticking our head in, doing health and comfort inspections with everybody. So we'll be at your house tonight at about 1800. All right.
We're going to have, and we'll bring a pizza. We'll bring things. We're going to meet your family.
Yeah.
But the real reason why we're coming is we want to see how nasty you are, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Because, and we're going to do it with everybody else. So just so we can nail your ass to the wall.
I should do that. Yeah.
What do you mean we don't inspect
it? I didn't say to inspect it. They knew it. But I would come by and say, hey, when can I – I told him, when is a good time? You tell me. I will pay for everything. I will buy pizza. I'll buy the steaks. If you want to have a barbecue, tell me what you need. Briquettes, lighter fluid, a barbecue grill. This is an opportunity, boys. Take advantage of me.
I got it all. What do you need?
Yeah.
Well,
and I'll show up.
Well, Staff Sergeant, I'd rather not. You know, my wife.
This ain't an option.
What?
And see, it was different back then. I don't know why, Mac. You're right. I mean,
we're afraid.
I wasn't afraid.
We are. But we as a culture are afraid to stand up and say, no, fuck no, we're not doing that. We're terrified of that shit, though.
I used to. They would look at it now, and I would be one of these hazers. But the difference is this. I didn't haze people, or what you would call hazing. I didn't do that for fun and enjoyment. I did that for the good order and discipline. And people will say, well, that's a pretty fine line to walk on. No, it's not.
Not even close.
It is not. It's not even – it's thicker than a steel girder. We're talking like I-5. That's how thick it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, both
you
lanes.
You can't mistake it.
Both lanes. And the shoulders, the off ramp.
And the center divider.
Yeah. It's like one of the fire breaks at Pendleton. Yeah, it's wider than shit, okay?
It's not a thin – well, and that would be a thin line if you were using Earth as your – yeah, okay. I get it. From space, that's probably a thin line. But we're not. We're people walking this place. It's not a thin line. It's a very wide, defined – I got it. And so – when we used to bring these guys in, you would say, I'm not doing that stuff, sorry. What? Hey, let's go take a walk.
Why?
Because I want to get you away from everybody else. Because when I make you cry, I don't want people to say, you know, bad things about you. I care about you. I don't, but I do. And so we would go take this walk, and I would tell them, I don't think you understand. What is it to your thick skull? What do you – look at your uniform. Look at mine. Okay? We're Marines. Okay? I am your leader, your boss, your manager. Call me what you want. But we are going to do this. And if it's me popping in, because I will do that too. I'm trying to make it easy on you. Hell, I'm giving you 3 days to clean your goddamn pigsty.
And then, you know, and here's the craziness. After you went through all that shit, right? You went through all that shit and put them on notice and picked a date and all that, and you showed up. You know what you found? Dog shit everywhere. Couches destroyed.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Well. No, my guys were, except for one.
There.
But you know what? I told the wives why I was there, too. Seriously. So I would, we'd be sitting around, and as soon as we'd make rapport and we'd talk, and, you know, and it's, no, please call me Mike. And then you'd look over at the Marine and say, you try that. And you're going to have a face full of loose teeth. And the wife would be like, ha, 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 see, I told you. And so, you're playing that. And I would tell her, I'd say, did he tell you the real reason why I came over here? And she's like, no. Okay, well, the real reason is I as a leader, care about my Marines. So I want to see how they're living. Oh, that's beautiful. He didn't tell me that. Why didn't you tell me that, Leroy? You know, I care about it. And so the women were more in touch with that, and they would be like, no, I understand that. And I said, I want you to hear it from me that if you ever have problems, you know, please call us, because we're a cohesive unit. The family unit has to be in working order for him to perform as a working unit. And that's why I'm here. I want you to understand that you're part of the team. And I truly was meaning this. And as I'm looking around their house for cleanliness, I'm not doing the white finger glove stuff, but you know, you can tell.
Right. What you're looking for is something wrong here.
But the wives really, too, I think I remember not one of them rejected it at all. They were like, man, what a great idea. Man, I can't believe, I feel comfort now knowing that he's in a unit where they really care about him. And you're looking at him going, yeah, you know what she's doing? This is called signing over your soul to me. Try it. You know, you're making that, you're not saying that out loud. You're looking at him with those eyes. You know what? She's on my side. Guess what? Your life's now hell. Because I'll just call her up. Oh, hey, are you going away for the weekend? You told me you were going away for the weekend. That's why you can't. Oh, no, we're not going anywhere, Stepstar. Okay, thanks. Hey, Jones, get back in here. Who are you going away with? Because you're obviously not going away with your wife. Do you want me to call her back and tell her that? Yeah. Mouth breathe again. So, dude, it was crazy.
But so my point in all of this is when up isn't up anymore.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's not even a direction.
You can't do it like that.
Yeah. Up is desk. That's what, I mean, it makes absolutely no, that we can't even say up is down and down is up. No.
That's what they try to tell you. Oh, he's wrong for the things that he said. Oh, and what he said was shit like, hey, what I feel like is a bunch of lance corporals are flipping me the bird. Oh.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
And that's what they were doing.
That's exactly what they were fucking doing. And all
he
did was.
Yeah, the general. Oh. He doesn't run this division.
Yeah, fuck him.
Because the commandant and everybody else says that he doesn't make it up. We didn't give a vote as lance corporals of this division.
Let alone as senior lance corporals. They haven't even weighed into this shit yet. Wait till they.
So we can blame. There's a lot of things we can blame. Hell, we can blame Zoldra. Paul, if you're listening, we're blaming you.
Yeah, and all his punk-ass stuff that he gets rolling all over the place, right?
Now we're turning against him. No, we're not turning against him.
Yes, we are.
No, but he those things, those publications spell out. We saw it a long time ago, and the leadership never conformed to it. It was just, there was too much of a separation of a generational gap. They didn't understand each other. You know, the young youth of generation of the Marine Corps took advantage of that gap and exploited
it. Yep. Hey, when you see those units not perform, it's not because, let me tell you, because if there's one constant in the Marine Corps, you know, and if you talk to Marines from the 40s about the Marines of the 50s, they're like soft and undisciplined. Yeah. You talk to the Marines of the 50s about the Marines of the 60s, soft as a baby's ass. Those guys are
hippies, punks.
Yeah, punks. Talk to the Marines of the 60s who went to Vietnam about the Marines of the 70s, garbage. Absolute garbage. It's the drumbeat. Let me tell you what's suffering in the Marine Corps. Mike and I have talked about this. We have defanged our sergeants and our staff sergeants and our gunnies.
And our corporals.
Right. We have defanged them. Every tool that they had to make your ass mine, legitimately, and I don't mean the hazing part of it, that I'm going to unfuck you, right, and you're going to be afraid to defy me is now gone, right?
Right.
The way you punish now in the Marine Corps is you make them write an essay.
Oh, my stomach I just got that pim. You know what pim is? Puke in the mouth. I just got that, like, man, my stomach just went. Ugh.
Wait, that's what they do, though. There's no shit.
I'm going to need some.
Hey, McNamara, you're writing an essay. Oh, not another one. Okay. All right. What am I writing it about now? I'm going to copy and paste most of this shit anyway, Staff Sergeant. But we've defanged them. And so, and as well as I think, and the captains are afraid, hey, do I push hard on this? Because if this thing blows up, I'll end my career. So it's the intermediate level leadership of the Marine Corps that's now afraid to push.
Yeah.
And that's,
and by the way, it's only a career when you finish.
Exactly.
Not a career while you're in.
And so you have those guys and they're afraid. And so until you retool that,
I didn't like how they treated Smith.
It was bullshit.
After how they went after Eric. Yeah.
It was bullshit. I saw him at either the division.
Saw him at the division birthday. He called me and told me he was.
And then I actually saw him twice. I saw him at their change of command. He and Dan O'Donohue. And then I saw him at what was the other thing I saw him at? I saw him at the color ceremony, Mike, the battle streamer ceremony.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Saw him at that. And I walked up and I said, hey, just for the record, so you know, I said, you're right about all this shit. And he looked at me and he smiled and he goes, man, he's like, oh man. He said, like, being a leader now, speaking your mind, this is that's where it gets you. You're villainized because you've taken away their rights. He says, Mac, I'm telling you, man. And I said, and so you could see that, I mean, And it's publications like Marine Corps Times. If you knew the problem and the shit that was going on.
Marine Corps Times, though, is.
Yeah. And now this is the article. The article, the headline ought to be, right, Lieutenant General Smith was right, ! Poosh.
Yeah. We were wrong as the piece of shit publication as we are.
And,
you know, because.
And all that.
We are the National Enquirer of right. The military. We're the laughing stock.
And all that judge did was enabled, right, the hazers. That's all yes. That judge did.
He vindicated, yeah.
Yeah. He enabled. And again, it's what we deal with all the time as a culture. We don't want to hurt their feelings. We have to give them their way. And the answer to that is bullshit. Bullshit. My daughter's a sophomore, Colleen. She's a sophomore. Guy who's a senior wants to kind of hang out with her and her to go to the mall with him. My response? No. Well, why? They just want to be friends. Oh, really? Do you think that's how that works? So he doesn't have any other friend he could hang out with. If that's true, that makes him a loser, and we don't want her to hang out with him. Let's just say that he does have other friends he can hang out with. Why does a guy who's 2 years, 2 grades in school older want to hang out with a younger girl? Easier to impress, right?
Yeah.
And she's gaga because she's getting attention from a much older guy. Is that the situation that I want to put my daughter in? Let me think at least for a quarter second. No. Okay? 18-year-old guy, senior in high school, go find somebody else. Okay?
I would kill them.
Right? Go find somebody else. oh, you're so unreasonable. They're just friends. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, I know that. But guess what? I was 18 once. And when I was 18, you know what I wasn't interested in? Being friends with a girl.
In high school.
That the relationship was not going to go where I wanted to, and where I wanted it to go was in the back seat of my car. I didn't, like, I had guy friends to hang out with and have fun and talk sports and be stupid and all the rest of that stuff. But girls, I was interested in one thing, and that was not marriage at the age of 18. Right? And so to me, oh, how could, you know, it's so, you're so hard and blah, blah, you're black. No. You have standards. You're supposed to be not afraid to stand up for that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing to teach them that. But we are so afraid of standing up and saying no. Not only no, but fuck no. And not only are we're afraid to do it in our culture, and we see it, Mike and I talk about it all the time, but we are now afraid to do it in the military. And Eric Smith did it, and he got smoked for it. And now...
But he's still, yeah, but he, like I said, he knew he did the right thing.
Oh, no, without a doubt. And everybody else knew he did the right thing. Oh, well, he's right. Well, I know, but he can't do what he did. Why not? Why can't you call a spade a spade? Why can't you say we're not having this? Well, you know, at his level of command and leadership, blah, blah, bullshit. That needs to change. We need to stop doing that. So I was so happy when I saw the article, and I'm so happy that we're talking about it, because I hope everybody who listens to this is not afraid. Do the right thing. Don't fuck whatever happens, you know? And I'll tell you what, I didn't ask him this, but
that's called moral courage, by the way.
Yeah, I could hear him saying, if I asked him if you had to do all over again, knowing what would happen, what would you do? What would he say, Mike? Okay.
He'd do it all over. Yeah, he would do it all over.
I'd do the same thing. I wouldn't change anything, not one word. So, I don't know. What we're doing for young people, we're doing them a disservice, because they can't be successful until they learn that up is up and down is down, and you have to have discipline. That's one of the keys of life. That's how you become successful. And we're afraid to teach it to them. Don't be afraid to teach it to them. Do the right thing. Be good. Don't stick to your guns. Don't roll over for your kids, because, as Mike and I have talked, you know, you can't give a kid self-esteem by giving them medals that they haven't earned. You only get esteem from that which you've earned. So make them earn it. Allow them to fail. Let them come back. That is the stuff of discipline. That is how you make successful people, and you can't save them from it. I'll let them go. Let them do it. Blah, 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 blah. So anyway, so I was really happy to see that. So,
anyway. Yeah, when I saw that, it made me so upset, man.
Great. Like, oh, but I want to ask you a question I want you to put on your gunny hat. Right, there was, at the end of the article, there's things that people are doing now. They have a new joint barracks where people go, and instead of putting them in the barracks with everybody else, they're
saying,
they're segregated.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I don't like that.
Okay. But we're doing that now.
Yeah.
So there's also assigning mentors. You have an NCO that's a mentor. You have a
staff. You always did that, though.
CO that's a mentor. How would you, your company, First Sergeant Musselman, how do you stop hazing in your unit?
Well, first of all, it's called, here's the, write this down.
All right.
It's called getting involved.
Okay.
Yeah. So that means, like, spend time with them. Spend, you know, like, we started going, and, you know, people say the open squad bay was the death of, no, it wasn't. We were fine. But when we started going away from doing stuff together and hanging, you know, so when I was at LAR as a staff sergeant, we used to go out to dinner as a platoon, once a month. And you could bring your girlfriend, your wife, whatever, but we would go somewhere. When I was at 1-5 as a sergeant, we would go out once a week, as a section. We either go pizza, we go get Mexican food, but we'd all come together. But then, you know, there was a lot of this stuff. So we were always interacting with one another. It was different. Now we lead, there's so much independence. There's so much freedom. You know, you can do whatever you want. Hell, like I said, with the advent, and this is, you know, working at LAR, this is before the internet was huge, you know, it was there, but social media wasn't like it was today. We didn't have all this stuff. It's much harder now with tools, and they say, oh, we embrace, we got to get into social media and got to get in there and we know it's doing, no, but what you got to do is get them involved. You know, your options are really simple. Either you conform to what they want or they conform to you. You know, that's really what you got to do. So how do you do that? And so it's getting involved, getting them involved. You know, getting the corporals and the sergeants back, how do you replace their fangs? I mean, that's really what you're saying. You know, you gotta let them know that they're supported. This whole, and like I said, this is gone. It's lost. This is never coming back again. You can't get, this is not a battle. We're not gonna reclaim all the ground. These are things that are gone.
But Mike, you make it sound like it's not difficult to do to go out to dinner.
To fix it, it's impossible. Absolutely impossible. To fix what has been going on is absolutely impossible. And the reason why I say that is because, one, you have a judicial system in the Marine Corps that believes, like these assholes that believes that, you know, that these guys have more rights than the commander. That they have a say of how the division is run. You know, I think we've lost... Where did we go wrong? Where did we go where the young PFC Lance Corporal could dictate the direction of the unit? Is it a generational thing? What is it? We've been given up ground for years trying to appease this group. And look where it got us. And now we want it back? You ain't getting it back. You got to draw a new line and hold that line. And don't let them come across that line. But, I mean, Mac, it's probably no different. It's just accelerated because of today's technologies, right? But it's no different than the 60s Marines looking at the 70s Marines and everything else like we talked about. And... You know, how did they get it? How did they? It was a slower transition because, again, they didn't have the saturation of the internet and the.
But you know, Mike, I would make the case to you. I would submit to you that these problems have always existed in the Marine Corps. Good leaders always have good units. Okay,
and good. Yeah, and there's still good units out there.
Good leaders do what Mike's talking about. Okay. Why don't these problems exist in that unit? Well, let's go over there and find out.
And that's what you got to do, Mac.
And what
are you willing to do that?
Yeah. What do you have?
No, you're not, though.
You have leaders who give a fuck. They get off their asses. They get to know people. And then the days before you're getting new Marines into the unit, right? You're looking around and you're like, all right, here's how this thing's going to work. Right? We got it. And again, it's not like we don't know who the gifted are amongst us. We're going to show up drunk in the middle of the night, right? That are going to walk by that door and they're going to smash. So it's not like we don't know who those people are.
But I'm going to say something that's going to upset you.
I don't care. And so, hold on, let me finish. And so I know who those people are, right? And if I have created this relationship and they know they're accountable to me, and they know that I will hold them accountable, then guess what doesn't happen? The stupid shit doesn't happen because they know. It's just like raising your own kids. And,
right.
And so but it's the individual leader that gets off their ass, that creates right. those bonds, that goes to those houses, that makes the unit different.
Right. Okay.
And we've always had this in the Marine Corps.
When I was still on active duty, and you and I talked about this story, over at the Dark Horse, there was a certain individual that was running that show, and he was, I mean, it was, what the hell is going on? I mean, who is the leader at here? Because it's definitely not this guy. This guy's 7 years old. And so that was addressed, and the opportunity came up for that leader to be removed from that equation, because that's what we need to do. And it didn't happen. From another great man that I, you know,
respect.
Like yeah, I respect all, but he didn't do that a long time ago either, Mac, when we were there in Iraq, when it should have been done, yeah, right?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So these people aren't willing to pull the trigger on other people because, like you just said, it's a career. And we look, and believe it or not, and I hate to say it, but we look at officers' careers differently than enlisted.
I agree.
When we have to pull the trigger on an officer's career, oh my God, you would think that you got to get, you know, three archangels and Mother Teresa and probably maybe one of the holy, at least one of the three is the Holy Trinity to sign off on. But enlist a guy, boom, put a bullet in him. But that's not the problem. You have to put bullets in those guys all day long. It's not going to solve the problem. It's just going to intensify their position.
You know, we talked about this during the shit.
You're making martyrs of them.
Yeah, we talked about this shit when this happened at Paris Island. The gunny got smoked, right? The lieutenant colonel, right, who kept him as part of his company staff when he knew the investigation was, what happened to that guy?
Oh, nothing.
He got fired, fined $2,000, and got allowed to retire.
Nothing.
What happened to the regimental commander? He was given an immunity along with the regimental sergeant major. Nothing. And so Mike's exactly right. And, you know, the incident that he's talking about that happened, it's, and let me tell you who had no problem kneecapping anybody. The current Secretary of Defense. I had the good fortune to be a little like parrot, like that hovered over his shoulder and got to watch him whack people, right? And you want to know what happened in the 1st Marine Division in 2004? That sumbitch performed at a pretty high fucking level. You want to know why? Because the mediocre guys were scared shitless. And we talked about this. Petrifying words. Chaos is Oscar Mike to your paws at this time. Oh, my fucking God. Right? Because he would, and he loved to fire officers, battalion commanders in particular. But he would not. I mean, Mike and I, our buddy Will Cosentini, was a commander of 1st Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion. Mattis was headed someplace, maybe towards Fallujah. They had a platoon of 1st LAR that was doing something around Fallujah. And our buddy Will was out by out by Al-Assad doing some shit. They were stopped on the side of the road, no guardian angels, guys laying down on the asphalt, their body armor off, and he pulled his PSD over and said, "Who the fuck's in charge here?" Lieutenant McNamara, sir. Who, you're with 1st LAR? Yes, sir. You'll be in my office tomorrow at 0800 with your battalion commander. You got that? Will had to stop what he was doing and come down there. He thought he was getting relieved. Okay? And I know he didn't appreciate it because, you know, but General Mattis had no problem teaching lessons to anybody. And I think that as you, especially as you control more people and you can't touch them on a daily, you can't go to their houses like Mike's talking about. Let me tell you what keeps people in line. Kneecapping people that should be kneecapped and not hesitating to do it. Boom, you're done.
Once you stop walking into the office and looking down on the floor, see if there's plastic, then you got a discipline problem.
Yeah.
They've got to always, when you get called in, you, like you said, when you walked into Mattis's, when you, if you ever got the, hey, the General Mattis wants to talk to you. You, I mean, you did the gulp.
Yeah. Would you call that thrown up in your mouth?
Pim.
Pim. You didn't pim.
Puke in my mouth.
You didn't pim. You piffed. You puked on the floor. Like, oh, should I call my wife? I think I'm going to get relieved. Why? General Mattis wants to see me. He's going to kneecap me. If you still were in command coming out of that thing, you were in the you were in 10%. Because most people did not survive that meeting.
Yeah, most did.
I'll tell you a funny story. I won't name the names, but a really good friend of mine was in Ramadi. And they were doing a raid one day. And General Mattis wanted to go over and visit him. And so he calls over, talks to the aide, and says, hey, just so you know, we can't stop what we're doing because our schedule's pretty tight. We can't stop everything we're doing for the CG because this raid's got some moving pieces to it. So the aide walks in to General Mattis and says, X battalion, right, and insert two numbers, all right. 912, because we don't have a 912. 912 says they're kind of busy, sir, and they can't stop really to accommodate you today. That's what he said to the CG. So Mattis picks up the phone and calls over there to talk to the CO. CO's not in the office. XO picks up the phone and he says, hey, tell your CO I don't go where I'm not wanted. I got the message. Out. Click. So the phone call I got is, hey, you tell that fucking aide that the next time I see him, I'm going to stick my fist right through his head. Right? Why would he sick the blood beast onto me? Like, why would he sick the Kraken on me?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how scared people were. I don't need
well, that's
that.
The blood. Where he said, it's when you see, like, the prisoner, they give him, come on, dude, get a good smell on the bloodhound. Once that bloodhound got your scent, dude, you're done. Why did you give him the scent?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, and again, there's a saying in the Marine Corps that I heard, I was like, what? And it's no attrition, no morale. I didn't really understand that. What it means, is, in my opinion, what it means, if you don't cap, right, if you're not doing hard things, if the weak aren't getting weeded out, if the bad leaders aren't getting fired, the organization can't thrive. And you've got to fire those people. You've got to get them out of there. And Mattis had no problem with it. It was awesome. It was awesome. They'd come in, sad sack. And I'd have to deal with them. Mac, find them a place to stay. And then he'd be really nice to them after he fired their ass. He'd be really nice to them. Hey, you head back to Indiana? Where are you headed? Oh, sir. But they didn't deserve, they didn't earn the right to command Marines. They failed. They weren't hard enough. And so, he was good at it, man. He was good at it. So, anywho. All right, what else is going on? How's the transition now that you're chief of staff of a big-time transition? How's the transition going?
A lot like any other, guy you work with.
Are you left seat? Are you right seat, left seat? Where are you in the transition?
I'm the guy pushing to make sure he gets to everything he's got to, like the handler. Ooh. Setting everything up, making passwords and accounts for, doing all the other than taking the class for himself.
Yeah.
You know,
so you're transition five.
Yeah. We're just trying to make sure that he's getting everything. His answer is don't worry. Cause if anything ever happens, I'm swinging by your house and picking you up and taking with me.
Oh, really? You're that guy now?
No, I don't. I told him, don't do that because I'm the last guy you want in a COC because I will bring out the – it won't be whips. It won't be whips. It'll be guns.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm not a good manager when it comes to COC operations. I demand that everybody knows their damn job. And, I don't want to make someone cry. Especially an adult male.
Yes, you do. You don't have any. What do you mean? You don't have any problem with that? You're like me.
I'm past that. I'm a happy guy now.
Oh, you don't want to go back to that.
I don't want to revert back.
You should
to
go
my
back.
Old
you should
self.
Go spend a couple hours there when they're having tornado watch or something like that, just to see what it looked like.
Oh, I believe me, I have.
You have?
Yeah, I've been in there to see how they actually communicate.
Do their shit? Is that why you left?
That's why I probably don't ever want to go back. The problem, you know what their problem is they're civilians. So civilians always have this, I don't know, this thing about importance of title and priority and, you know, that you can't talk to me. You can't call a meeting. You know, you're not, shut up. That would be my answer. And people are like, what? You can't tell me to shut up. If I tell you shut up again, you're never going to be able to mouth the word for at least a month because your jaw's going to be wired. Are you threatening me? Boom. I told you, shut up. But no. But just the problem with civilians, man, you got to, they're like, oh, you poor thing. Don't worry. I'm always told that, you know, I would have to be careful if I run to office and I get into it, I got to be careful of who I'm working with. I don't resort back to that.
Can you do that? Can you be that? I don't know that you can.
Well, because I'm a pretty good master manipulator.
That's true. That is true. But can you not respond when your buttons are pushed?
Here's my problem, and I'm cursed with this.
Yes.
I do not suffer fools well.
Yeah. Okay. And so now I'm going to get into politics. That might go well.
Yeah. See, that's – I can't work with stupidity. I can't. I just can't. I can't. And when stupid people rear their ugly head, I'm that guy with the mallet that just, like, crushes them like whack-a-weasel.
Yeah, like on cartoons.
Yeah.
And you know how, like, the character's, like, walking with his head vibrating and his arms are out and vibrating and going, Mike just...
Even when I hear it, and it's not even in my zone, my sector, I'll be walking through it and I hear stupidity. I'm like, bing, 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 and I cue in and go, hey, what's going on? What's your name? Never heard you before. What did you just say? Oh, I was saying, oh, yeah, where did you get that information from? You know, who taught you that? Where did you learn that? Why are you bringing that up in this place of office? If I ever hear you say something stupid like that again, what floor are we on? Oh, we're going to go to the second floor, and I'm going to throw you out the window. Actually, you look at his supervisor and say, hey, make sure you move his desk to the second floor so we don't have to take that journey up there. I could just come in here the next time and just chuck him out of it. And then he's laughing. You know,
so funny.
Think I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Why?
I'm not. Email. Do either of you think this story is true? Headline.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trump reportedly thought Dunford made $5 million a year. Retired General John Kelly, now the White House Chief of Staff, has told others in the administration that Trump once guessed the chairman of the Joint Chiefs was pulling in $5 million a year, according to the Washington Post. Kelly, who the Post described as startled, informed the president he made under $200,000. Do you believe that's true?
No.
Yeah,
no.
I don't.
And if there's one guy that should be making $5 million a year, it's Joe Dunford. Seriously, if someone said approve the salary of General Dunford to $5 million a year, I'd be like, yeah, suck at that. Go ahead.
Yeah, he should be making like $10 less than the chief of staff of the White House should be making. We should be making $5 million and $10. Here's another story. U.S. Navy steps up training standards following fatal McCain-Fitzgerald collisions. You know, we followed this story, and again, I don't know how you, when you have minutes and you know that the ships are going to collide, I don't know where you attack that problem. And nobody hits general quarters or the collision alarm. I don't like that. So like, I don't know what you do in simulators and more tests and all that when to have somebody, when you see another ship coming and you're going to collide and it's not like an automobile accident, you see this shit coming for minutes, right? When you think you're going to come close, you should sound a collision alarm. You should go to general quarters. Yeah, just as a precaution to not do any of that and people die in Iraq. I don't know what your leader, I don't know what, is that a leadership problem? Is that a we don't know what to do fucking problem? When I read these stories, I'm like, after the accident, reviews found shortfalls in training, manning, and deployment schedules for four deployed Navy ships. Wah, wah, wah. What was not thoroughly answered by the reviews was how it was possible on two of the world's most advanced warships that the watch teams on the bridge and the radar monitors in the Combat Information Center aboard the destroyers didn't manage to coordinate to avoid the collision. Yeah. I think that I don't think you'll ever know the truth about either one of those two events. I think the truth is would be so ugly. People playing video games, people not paying attention, people not talking to each other. I think that the absolute truth would never see the light of day. It would humiliate the United States Navy. Because here we're bitching about, you know, about General Smith and what he went through. The Navy, their leadership, you know what they would say? You know, that judge has a point. That guy so overstepped his bounds. It's so wrong. You know, it is so wrong. And you know, if you watch, there's a little video of this, okay, that plays during the article. And it shows the line that the USS McCain took. The USS McCain, they don't set the sea in anchor detail, which is the most senior navigators and helmsmen and all that shit. And they're in the Moluccan Straits. Mike and I have talked, like, we're seagoing guys. When you go through heavy traffic areas, you go to general quarters, the sea and anchor detail set, the pros are there, right? When you're in the middle of nowhere at night, plowing through, like, the northern Pacific, a gazillion miles from someplace, then the bozo show goes up there, okay? They don't do any of that. And then what they do is they hang a left turn in front of this tanker ship that's going straight. They turn left, and the thing T-bones it. They can see the son of a bitch coming. It's during daylight, and nobody goes to general quarters. Like, what's the problem there? I don't get it. So, anyway. So, good luck to the Navy. And I hope pretty soon that the Secretary of Defense sticks his foot so far up their ass. Yeah. So,
it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be to how they unscrew themselves and what they think the problem is. How can nobody, I don't get it. And I'd be really, and because I keep watching this shit, because I'm a seagoing Marine. Yeah. Back in the day, I even went to sea school for a graduation. Not too many even people know what the fuck that is anymore. Boot.
Yeah.
Mike does, though. So, did you go to sea school? You didn't?
No, it was over with by the time I went there.
Boot.
I didn't need to go to sea school.
I challenged sea school and won.
I was better than sea school.
All right. What else do you have to report? Anything else exciting going on in Texas?
No.
Nothing?
Not at all.
Nothing?
No.
A little bit colder this morning. Saw that.
Yeah, it's chilly. I like it. Believe me,
What's the daytime high? 50s or 60s?
I don't know. Let's ask the all wisdom. Hey, Siri.
Oh, shit.
What is the temperature today?
The high temperature for today will be 68 degrees, and the low will be 39 degrees.
Whoa! 68 to 39. That's a pretty good range, man. Wow.
Wow. Thank you, Siri.
How come you don't have Siri say yes, Gunner? Why don't you have that?
Siri, what's my name?
You're asking me? Michael?
Oh, there you go, see? She knows.
She doesn't know your name is Gunner?
I don't know. I used to have her What did I have you call me?
I'm not sure I understand.
She's not very bright.
She's stupid.
Yeah. What's my nickname?
You'll need to unlock your iPhone first.
Why is it? Is it under password protection?
Apparently, it's Michael.
Oh. I gotta change that.
Apparently, it's not.
Yeah. I gotta change. I think I can change that.
I've never heard a person conversing with a computer like that.
Oh, I talk to her all the time. Because you know why? It's the only woman that does exactly as I tell her to do. Am I right? Huh? It's the only woman in my entire life that has done exactly what I tell her to do. Nothing more, nothing less. No back talk, nothing. She just does it.
She does
it. So, all women listening, Siri should be your mentor and your role model. I'm just kidding. Libby's funny.
That was funny, though. That was funny. The, here's another.
Yeah. Libby's going to call it.
Libby will say, you two are stupid. The, here's an email talking about hazing. I know you guys have talked about stuff like this, but I don't recall you drawing a line. What's the difference?
You drew a line.
What's the difference between an initiation and hazing?
An initiation is when you welcome somebody into the club, and they do that in boot camp. They do all of the initiation stuff in boot camp. They get to decide medically, morally, and everything else. They give them the Euglobin anchor, and they become a Marine. They earn the title. It is your job to guide them through the pitfalls of being in the fleet.
Okay,
got mine. Now I'm going to make you get yours.
Yeah, so ACTS qualify, E-Tool qualify, psychological sit-ups, those initiations.
Okay, but those things were – but we have a group of individuals today that are so immature, they can't understand that it's I-5, not fishing line. They don't know the thinness. So they just revert to stupidity.
Is it them, though, is it those intermediate leaders that don't lead?
Well, it's them to begin with, and then it's the leaders that actually don't do anything about it or don't even see it.
Yeah.
They're not really leaders, right?
I would tell you, I mean, to me, those initiations, I got saved from doing psychological sit-ups, and for those of you who've never heard me describe that, you get blindfolded, and they say you'll get vertigo if you do more than – and this is the kind of shit they did. You can do, Lieutenant McNamara, you can do, everybody that was new, you can do, E-Tool qualify, or you can do psychological sit-ups. What is psychological sit-ups? Well, what a stupid name, right? But it's like, we blindfold you. Well, are they hard? Yeah, you'll get vertigo after about, a few. And then they're like, what's the most psychological sit-ups anybody's ever done? And 13. I'm like, I'll do more than 13 before I get vertigo. I know that. They're like, and my company commander walks up behind me. You're not doing psychological sit-ups. And I turn around and say, sir, I can do sit-ups all day long. And he looks at me and goes, Mac, exactly. Like, dumber than shit. Mac, you are not doing psychological sit-ups. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All you tool qual. And all the Marines are like, shit. So what happens is they have you down there, and then you do a couple practice ones. Blindfold good. You ready? Yeah, I'm good to go. And then the fattest, nastiest, guy in the unit, he squats over your face after he pulls his pants down, and your nose goes right into the crack of his ass. And you're startled, so you like, then boom, you go back down the ground, and then boom, back up again, and somebody's taking a picture. And everybody's yelling, yeah, get that ass! And then they rip the blindfold off, and everybody's laughing. Bah. You've just been initiated. But my company commander was standing there. The first sergeant was standing there. The gunny was standing there. right? That's as awful as it got. And everybody laughed, and now you're all part of the team.
Yeah, but you can't do that anymore.
But not because the 18-year-olds can't take it. In my opinion, where we fail is, Mike, all the shit that you talk, the stuff that you, it's not shit you took, talk, all the stuff that you talk about that you did that created that unit cohesion and that they knew that up was up and down was down and they knew what you expected, all that dominating of the gray area that you did by personality, by performance, by training,
yeah,
people don't do anymore.
Right.
Few and far between. And if you do...
And I used to give speech talks to the guys at Division on how to do this. Hey, let me make your life easier. Do this. But apparently, to no avail.
Because I will tell you, young people will become whatever you craft them to be. And Mike and I have seen them do the most incredibly courageous stuff in Iraq and Afghanistan. It'll blow your mind. They're no different than the greatest generation. But when you have low expectations and when you allow them to backslide into being shit, guess what they will be? They'll be shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not on them. It's on you. It's just like parenting. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, go out with them. And then it blows up in your face like, oh, nobody saw that coming. Wah. Yeah, you're stupid. Life's tough. It's tougher when you're stupid. All right. All right. So on that cheery note, have a good day, man. We'll talk to you on Thursday. When's the land nav course?
Thursday.
Though? When's the land nav?
Saturday. This Saturday.
I'm fired up about that, by the way.
This Saturday, December 1st.
Are you going out there and surveying the course? Oh, you're just doing the class this week, though.
Just the classes. We're not doing the actual find the boxes.
You gotta go find the box.
It's freaking cold out, man, and these ladies don't want to go out. Dude, believe me, I would do it if I could.
They would love it. Make a course.
Sure. It sounds good on paper. As soon as we implemented this, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just have good catching features. Okay.
Yeah, like a cliff. Or a river.
An interstate. Don't go on that side of the Rio Grande. Don't go on that side of I-40.
That's too far.
And then,
if they get that far, then.
But bet your ass somebody will. She's where? She's in Juarez. What did I say about the catching feature?
Yeah. Well, Juarez is pretty far away. They're in Juarez.
Damn it. I hate when this shit gets screwed up.
But, they'd be in Oklahoma before they got, yeah.
Well, that'd be okay. Oklahoma's not as bad. Anyway. All right, man. Well, good luck. I'll talk
to
you.
Yeah. Thanks for getting me riled up.
Well, no, you know what? Good.
I'm going to reach out to Eric.
If you don't read that, and his picture's on the front of the segment, just so you know.
I know. I'm going to reach out to Eric.
Yeah. If you don't read that, And conclude, and I'll tell you what, I don't know the other general officers that said, yeah, you know, he's stupid for saying that and blah, 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 blah. You know?
But a lot of them didn't come to his rescue either.
No, they didn't.
Or back him up.
No, they were like, yeah, can't go near that, man. He's
not going to touch that thing.
Yeah, he's too hot. He's radioactive right now, so leave him alone. We'll see what happens. And it's just, so to me, that article vindicates him. And standards, and I don't give a shit what the SJAs have to say. Those bozos. So anyway. All right. See you later, Mike. Have a good one. There he is, the gunner, the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Musselman. It ain't the 18-year-olds, okay? It's the company commanders, it's the company gunnies, it's the company first sergeants. They gotta dominate the thing. They gotta dominate the unit. They've gotta dominate those people. And you do it, as Mike says, by getting to know them. Okay? By getting to know them. But I will say this. If the most coercive thing you can do is the same thing that a middle school teacher would do, that's not the Marine Corps I know. Yeah. Handing out an essay? So that's what it... That ain't good. That's what a grammar school teacher, kindergarten, well, you can't write, so they couldn't do it to you in kindergarten. Email. This is from Northwest Minnesota. You two are pretty damn entertaining. When you're just bantering, not discussing serious topics, just shooting the breeze, I love it. We're funny guys. No, that we're seriously funny. Seriously. Funny. I'm, as I tell my kids, like, I'm like a professional entertainer funny. Not like you guys, like, oh, that was funny. I'm not funny like that. I'm like straight up legit funny. My kids hate that shit. And I'll tell them, hey, shut up. You're like little kid funny. You know, that's not funny at all. They watch this show called The Office that I don't think is funny at all, and they tell me how funny they think it is. And I tell them, look, I'm funny. I know what funny is, okay? Seinfeld's funny. This isn't stupid, okay? Dad, everybody thinks this is funny. Well, if everybody jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff? Like, oh. I'm like, it's not funny. Take it from me. I know. I'm funny. Anyway, have a great day. Tomorrow, I'm going to hear from a World War II veteran, an interview that was conducted by 2nd Marine Division guys. He went ashore 75 years ago on the island of Tarawa. Yep. And I want to say he's 97 years old. So they sat down and they did about a 40-minute interview. So you're going to hear that tomorrow. And we'll see what else we can find. So, with that said, if you're just tuning in, today's program pretty interesting. Talk in the first hour, talk about hazing in the 1st Marine Division. Article out of Marine Corps Times. That essentially said, oh, General Eric Smith was right when the whole world took him to task last year. To include Marine Corps Times. Undue command influence. So, you'll hear about that. You'll also hear about IEDs in Afghanistan that killed 3 soldiers. So, a rough day. An email asked, I think, you know, how do they work? So you'll hear a little kind of synopsis of how IEDs work. In hour two, you'll hear Grant Newsham, who hadn't joined us in a while. You'll hear him talk about the ouster in a more of a cultural event than a criminal event of Nissan CEO in Japan. You'll hear him talk about that. When you offend the ruling elite of Japan, what happens to you? So you'll hear that. You'll also and we'll also talk about China. The economic conflict between the United States and China is focused right at China's center of gravity, which is a trade war, right? And as Grant will explain, China needs a trade surplus, right, to generate hard currency. So when the United States says we're not playing that game anymore, you're going to open our markets and you're going to respect our intellectual property, that is pointed right at the heart of China. And in maneuver warfare, we call that the center of gravity. Okay? And And when you put pressure on the center of gravity, it's not like putting pressure on one of the islands in the South China Sea. China could give a rip about one of those. When you put pressure on the heart, on the center of the deal, that's a big deal. This trade thing's a big deal. Not many people understand it like that because most people don't understand shit. Sorry about that, but it's true. So keep an eye on it. And the United States shouldn't be quick to come to the table and let the Chinese, because this is a hard place to get to. And you had guys like Barack Obama who didn't have the courage to go down this road and insist that the Chinese treat American workers fairly and allow American goods and cars and all the rest of that shit into the country. You know, you had presidents like George Bush, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton that did not for, and this intellectual property theft has been going on forever. Yeah. So, anywho. Yeah, Grant Newsham talks about that. We'll also talk about Russia. And Russia's latest little act of, you know, whatever the stupidity from my perspective. But, you know, Putin calculating, destabilizing the Ukraine because the Ukraine is a threat to Russia. Why? 80% of Ukrainians speak Russian. They have families in Russia. So what does Putin not need? He doesn't need Ukrainians saying that, you know what, it's so much better here. We visit your shithole country. What a backwards bunch of idiots. We have more freedom here. And economically, every year, we get better. As opposed to you monkeys going backwards. Putin doesn't need that. So he screws with them. Anywho, and then you'll hear Mike talking about hazing. And in the Marine Corps, where up isn't up anymore. So, congratulations to Lieutenant General Eric Smith. Say what you mean what you say. On a Tuesday, All Marine Radio, over and... Oh.